Blog Talk Radio.
Wandering around, wondering why I hit the glass with so much speed. What was I doing that I didn't see the glass? I was moving way too fast. I was moving way too fast. Felt like I was standing still. So I tried to gain some speed with my mind and with my will. Wanting to feel something moving in me, moving like the fishes in the sea, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the real vibration, sweet liberation, rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the one, one with the one.
Good morning and welcome to In Lighten Up Radio. This is Lisa Sahakian coming to you live from sunny Southern California. So grateful in this moment to be here. So thankful to be able to share the radio waves with you each and every Monday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. If you're listening to the show for the first time, my name is Lisa Sahakian, and you're listening to In Lighten Up Radio. What we do every Monday morning, we get together, share provocative prose, witty wisdom, lovely laughter to help us enlighten up on life, life's challenges, and in life in general, because we are here. We are here to have a really magnificent experience, and certainly life can throw us the lemons, and we choose to make lemonade out of them. So every Monday morning, we get together, we share the information, we bring wonderful speakers like we have today, wonderful guests on the show, Dr. Kurt Johnson, and sometimes we've got live Q&A. So if you're listening from around the world, this is your first time, remember that we've got archived shows, at least a year and a half's worth of really yummy information to help you, again, tools of transformation to help you enlighten up on your life. So I'd like to thank our opening musical inspiration, Ricky Byers Beckwith, for her wonderful music, One with the One. Thanks so much, Ricky, for all your great inspiration and the beautiful music that you share. Our listeners so much enjoy it. And Enlighten Up is a proud co-sponsor of the New World Conference taking place May 28th through the 31st, 2015, in Radford, West Virginia. Barbara Marks Hubbard is one of the 50 living luminaries from around the world that will speak, about the wheel of co-creation and how to manifest it. This is a foundational paradigm for what's happening on the planet. The wheel of co-creation, Enlightenment listeners, is really a more fundamental back to the old ways of doing things that worked, where everyone pitches in and helps one another. Conscious capitalism is absolutely a word that I like to throw in there. A consciousness, a way of helping not only ourselves, but each other get ahead. So at Building the New World Conference, we will be providing, presenting information to help you build the new world. Every aspect, education, health, arts and entertainment, religion, spirituality. And what we are doing is we're sharing this information to really elevate the consciousness and, more importantly, the question how. We're building a bridge. We're creating a bridge. We're providing an opportunity to fill in the gap of, well, how do I do this? How do I build a new world? How do I move from A to B? How do I matriculate from who I was to who I am today? So Building the New World, Enlighten Up Radio, and a lot of these individuals on the planet, these are souls in action on the planet, not just now. They've been doing it their whole life. And aren't we lucky that we get to live in a time where these living luminaries and living philosophers, such as the individual known as Ken Wilber. Ken Wilber's, I believe, he is the first philosopher to have his teachings be effective and used while he's still alive. So that tells you the consciousness and the awareness, the awakeness, the aliveness of our planet right now. So active across the spiritual and science interface for 40 years. Talk about active. Dr. Kurt Johnson is the co-author of the award-winning book, The Coming Interspiritual Age, published 2014. So it's new, very relevant. And several other books, from across these fields, a former monastic with a PhD in evolution and ecology. What a great mix. He was associated with the American Museum of Natural History for 25 years and currently the One Spirit Interfaith Seminary in New York City and the Center for Biodiversity and the University of Florida. So he serves on the executive committee of two United Nations committees on world religions. Aren't we lucky? I feel so fortunate, very privileged, on world religions, environment, sustainability, and a new book on science and the arts will appear from Yale University Press, wonderful, 2015. So, you know, I had the good fortune of chatting with Dr. Kurt Johnson just a moment before we got on the show, and so grateful, so pleased, really honored to have you on the show, Dr. Johnson. Thank you so much for taking the time to be on Enlightened Radio.
Well, thank you so much, and thanks for introducing the conversation in the context of building the New World Conference, because that makes it really easy to start from there.
It sure does, doesn't it? How is your day going so far?
Well, I'm looking out a window on sunny Manhattan, so it looks like a nice day on the East Coast as well, so can't complain. All good.
No. Yeah, wonderful. That sounds fantastic. Well, you know, the content is so rich and there's so much. Do you mind if I go ahead and jump right in with some questions?
No, please. Yeah.
Okay, great. So I'd love to know more about you, and this topic is really, really rich. So we'll see if we could put a little bit of both in there. Feel free, by the way, Dr. Johnson, to incorporate any personal information that really helps the listeners know that we're really all in this together, you know.
No, absolutely. Thank you.
Yes, please. Okay, so explain to me and our listeners, our global listeners, what is the global interspiritual movement, and, you know, how long has it been growing, and why is it growing so fast right now?
Well, it's really interesting in the context of this conference, Building the New World, because we have to ask then, how do you build that? And one of the major problems in the world, all you have to do is watch the news, is that right now in so many parts of the world, religion is part of the problem and not part of the solution for a better world. And so, you know, what we really do in our work, and certainly also how it's reflected in our work at the United Nations, is try to make this shift away from religions identifying with certain boxes, certain identities, being willing to have conflict and even war over those ideas and fighting over who's right or who's better, and try to shift the understanding of the religions actually back to their essential spirituality. And in that essential spirituality are the qualities that all of the founders of all the great religions taught, and those are very simple, about love and kindness and sharing and nurturing and profound interconnectedness. And what's happened over time is that the human attention shifted to the difference in ideas instead of the similarity of the teachings with how we behave with each other. So at the global level, if we're talking about change or building a new world, then actually the interspiritual movement, which is just the word I-N-T-E-R, which implies sharing between and among, really is a movement globally to turn the religions back to that central behavioral understanding about how we treat each other. Now, what's interesting is that if you Google interspiritual or interspirituality, you'll actually see like over 100,000 entries now at Google. And that's pretty amazing, because the word was only invented 10 years ago when, again, globalization and the process of our species going global really brought up this the situation of religions being part of the problem and not part of the solution. So what's happened is that it doesn't really take people too long to figure out, if they actually reflect on it, that the essence of whatever religion they're a part of is actually about how we treat each other. It's about right action and right behavior. It's not really about right belief and right creed or right dogma. So that type of a shift is absolutely essential to that building of the new world, and that, of course, is why our movement is going to be represented at the conference in Virginia. But I was going to just add one other thing, because many of you who are online now, who probably know younger people, know this expression, spiritual but not religious. And certainly in the West, they're saying now nearly 70% of younger people identify themselves as spiritual but not religious. And again, what that reflects is, again, that consciousness that what they're interested in is the core essence of the religions and what they teach, which is about behavior, love, caring, and the implications of interconnectedness, and not about creeds and dogmas, which become trouble. So that's really it in a nutshell.
Interesting. Your answer raises a very simple question that I don't think I've ever asked anyone before. It might be over simple, but what's the difference between religion and organized religion, or is there a difference?
Well, it kind of depends on how you break it down. I mean, right now I think the Dalai Lama has probably done the best job of trying to define the difference between religion and spirituality at a global level. And basically what he says is that religion and organized religion are really about allegiance to or observance of or belief in a certain idea about reality and being willing to actually get into arguments or debates about whose idea is the best or who's actually right. And he distinguishes that from spirituality, which he really wraps around ethics, values, behavior, and ideals. So basically he says what I just said is that spirituality, which is really a matter of the heart, in that place, all of the great teachings from all the wisdom traditions are very much the same. But if you take them over to then what narrative they wrapped around that, then they become very different. And if we're not careful, and it's actually what happened historically, the spotlight shifted from the sameness of what the great wisdom traditions were teaching to the differences in ideas. And then when that got connected with politics and social structures, it even led to, you know, first competition and then conflict and then even war. So I was going to say that, for instance, if you take a look at the website www.thecomingintherspiritualage.com, and the reason I mention is you're immediately going to see the photographs of about 60 or 70 religious leaders from over the last 100 to 200 years. And the point is that every one of those teachers from multiple traditions was pointing this out. They were saying, hey, you know, all the religions may have different narratives and different stories, but actually the essence of what they were teaching is the same, and it's about how we behave. What happened, though, and this is just kind of the end of that, is that that didn't become urgent until the world went global after the Second World War. When the global civilization emerged after the Second World War and was then, you know, bound up by treaties and economic connections and trans-oceanic, you know, jet planes and all this mixing, which had not existed before, this issue of difference became critical to how healthy our global civilization was. And so what happened then is that this understanding of the essence of religion, which is really spirituality, as opposed to fighting over the ideas of religion, which is, you know, for instance, in the Middle East, is just the norm of the day, that really came into focus. So what we say now, and this is actually, we're mentioning Ken Wilber, because Ken Wilber, actually, this is the way that he summarizes it, is that the world's really divided now into two kinds of folk, one that he calls a second-tier consciousness, which is doesn't pay attention to the boxes of ethnic identity, religious identity, national identity, but really wants to talk about a global healthy world that's transcultural and trans-ethnic and transnational. The old first-tier consciousness, if you look at what's going on in the Middle East, like with ISIS, or if you look at the way Vladimir Putin is operating in Russia, that's the old, put everything in a box, run up a flag, put on a uniform, fight over it, kill some people. And I think Ken Wilber's very right, that the world now is divided. If everybody on this call and on this program now looks across their circle of friends, you're probably going to see people that are clearly in the old first-tier consciousness. They still want to duke it out with the person they think is different than them. Or they're in the second-tier consciousness, which says, hey, you know, we're all alike. Come on, let's get along. Let's build a global civilization. Let's chuck all the labels. We don't need them. They're really a disservice. So I think, you know, going back to your original question of why this movement has gotten so large is simply because, you know, people are figuring that out. You know, one is pragmatically has a good result, and the other pragmatically has an awful result.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. Those of us who do the work, the inner work, those of us who went from tier one and are living in our just flourishing in tier two at this amazing time to be on the planet, you know, I think we forget how hard it was for our own transition from one to two. Could you imagine a world going from one to two? I mean, we're living in it, right?
Well, and see, this is it's such a great point, Lisa, because see, that transition is going on through so many conversations, not only through just the getting out of the idea of what a global spirituality and a global civilization might look like, but like you said, people are dealing with multicultural situations in their lives all the time. I mean, the number now of people who are dating across traditions and marrying across traditions or working with people in the workplace from other traditions or traveling, it's just the order of the day. So that transition out of those boxes, I mean, just look at the news relative to what's going on with the whole thing about Black Lives Matter and the behavior of police. All of these things are reflections of what happens when a world goes multicultural and goes global and has to deal with that skillfully instead of just, you know, duking it out between people.
Wow. So in this global discussion centered at the United Nations, the work that you're up to, that you've been up to on the planet, what's the most urgent major issues and agenda, and how is the global interfaith movement helping address, how are you guys building bridges at the United Nations around this?
Well, it's really a microcosm of the discussion that we just had, because the UN is really made up of two components. The one is the governments. And if you think about that, probably over half of them are dictatorships where the dictators are really bad folk. But then the other part of the UN is the non-governmental agency community, which are really all the do-gooders of the world, all of the not-for-profit organizations that are doing, you know, good work across like 19 areas, what they call the development goals, which would be agriculture, water, women, health. You know, there's 19 categories of problem solving. It's exactly the conversation that you just reflected upon. So many of the governments are still in the old tier one consciousness. They want to protect their box. They want to exploit another box. They want to go to, you know, even go to war with another box. But in their same building, on these buildings, it's campus of the UN, are all these other people like us who in our dealings with them on a day-to-day and weekly basis are saying no. You know, that's never going to work. You know, wake up. The way that we have to do it is build a new set of models so that everyone's well-being is on the table and not just the well-being of or another group. So what's interesting about being at the UN is that on that campus of buildings is a microcosm of the most extreme forms of Tier 1 and duking it out with people, and the most altruistic and idealistic forms of Tier 2, who are saying, come on, let's make plans with regard to water, with regard to agriculture, with regard to what they call the stakeholder forum, everyone who has a voice in this, women, children, matters of education. You know, let's build a world where all those voices are heard, and the issues and the needs of all those voices, that we have models that can attempt to meet those. So I think what's interesting, a lot of people don't appreciate that without a place like that where these people can talk daily without having to get on a plane and fly to another country, that accelerates the conversation very, very quickly. So a lot of us, like myself, I'm nearly 70 now. I should be retired, should be enjoying my retirement. But there's so many of us who have stayed in this work after we retired from major professional institutions, let's say in ecology or in culture or in the arts or in world religion, that stayed in this conversation simply because we actually believe it can go somewhere, and we actually see that there is a transition that's going on, and all the players are needed. I mean, everybody like yourself and myself and everybody who's listening to this program who has a cause, has a passion, has a place or a group in which they're doing this type of progressive work, that's what it's going to take. So I was in a meeting recently with the Dalai Lama where he said, now it's time to put the pedal to the floor. As he said, that's what Americans say, right? And he kind of laughed. Yeah. And he's right. Now's the time to put the pedal to the floor, you know?
God bless the Dalai Lama. What a great man, huh?
And isn't it interesting, though, that he comes from that position, he says, because he lost his country. Once he didn't have a country, he belonged to everybody. So he was able to take that high ethical position on behalf of everybody because he himself, like you said, doesn't have a country anymore. So it's a matter of then of taking the message, you know, to the global level.
You know, if the world could just let go of everything, in my experience, all the let go, all the release, all the loss, all those things, and I know that that's happening on a socioeconomic level and you know, people are having to let go. It's very interesting, I think, the way we're being forced. But I'll tell you, that let go, that non-attachment, that just being completely willing to be where you are, who you are, wherever you're at, and just in full acceptance is a game changer, Dr. Johnson. It's just a game changer.
No, absolutely, yeah. And I just did a program recently with one of the world's top scientists in altruism and cultural evolution, David Sloan Wilson, who has a new book out, very short, only 150 pages, called Does Altruism Exist? And what he was saying is that exactly reflected what you just said, is that at a global level now, from the scientific point of view, we're going through what they call a bottleneck. And that bottleneck, just like you said, in the sense of the personal crises that people go through or the dark night, it's a very, very difficult transition from very different old ways to very different new ways. And coming through that bottleneck is a part of the evolutionary process. And, of course, what happens with evolution is that the skills in making that transition are what really help. I mean, you know as well as I do, because as we were talking before the show, when any of us deal with a person who's struggling, what really makes a difference is how skillful we can be in helping them make those steps. So every part of this is just so, so important.
Yeah, we're going through a big global birth canal right now, aren't we?
That's it. Good term for it.
Yeah, pretty powerful.
Yeah, it feels
that way. So what specific initiatives are you a part of, Dr. Johnson, and why? What's happening around them? I know you're very excited about what you're achieving and the results. Can you share with our listeners some of those initiatives?
Yeah, absolutely. The major partnership we're working through right now, if you look at interspirituality.com, and then you look at something called forum-21.org, one of those is a large group of UN entities, Forum 21, and the interspiritual movement is interspirituality.com. What we're doing now is we're going and creating programs and events statewide and regionally. Like we'll be in Colorado almost all of the summer and then in the state of Washington in the fall. And we go in and we actually bring the global conversation to the local regional conversation, and we link up with leaders at the local regional level to create the types of programs and events that can inspire energy behind this second-tier worldview at the local level. And what we found is that if we link people's understanding of the discussion globally, like the big birth canal, with the local and regional smaller birth canal, then the bigger birth that's going on cosmically gets aided all. So we're all kind of like midwiving. So that's one thing I'm really excited about, because then people at the local level don't feel like the Lone Ranger anymore.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. Any other initiatives you want to share with listeners?
No, I think that's, if they wanted to track this at interspirituality.com, that's a good place to track it. And the coming interspiritual age, .com, then that's pretty much have gone through it. But these are happening, you know, we have the things that go on at the international level that go on through the international community, through the UN, then our outreach to the local and regional communities. But the other thing that we're doing, of course, and I'm watching the clock here to make sure that we don't run out of time, is that we're really helping local people who are really enthused about this create the groups that can move their vision from being an individual to being a tribe. So if there's anyone out there who wants support in building the vision that they're trying to build locally and regionally, they can be in touch with us, and we have lots of resources by which we can can be of help.
Wonderful. So in closing, how can our listeners reach you and tell us why attending Building the New World Conference is so important?
Well, obviously, we're at Building the New World Conference because Barbara and the other people who have put it together realize that religion has to become part of the solution and not remain part of the problem. So we're really there to talk about the coming of this new interspiritual age, which is about the essence of religion and not about religions just arguing with each other. I can easily be reached by my name, which is KurtJohnson, and then three more letters, ISD, which are stand for Interspiritual Dialogue. So it's Kurt Johnson, ISD, at yahoo.com. And I'm pretty good about getting back to people. So, because we know there are lots of grassroots people who are trying to go regional and then go global.
Yes, yes. Well, it's been an absolute pleasure talking with you. Your work is absolutely fascinating.
Oh, thank you. And I'm just so glad that you, Lisa, stepped up on behalf of the whole Building the New World Conference and said that you would do this. I think you've been talking with at least a dozen or two of the speakers at this conference over the last week. So big thanks to you.
Thank you. You know, it's terribly selfish. My motives are very selfish. I'm having an amazing time.
Well, I got to send you, I have to send you a virtual hug from New York since I'm not in California. I can't just walk across the studio and give you a hug, but I'm sending you a virtual.
Thank you, Dr. Johnson. We'll give each other a real one at Building the New World Conference taking place May 28th through the 31st, Radford University in Virginia. Thanks again, Dr. Johnson. You have a wonderful day.
You too.
Okay, thanks so much. And thanks again, Enlighten Up listeners, for all of your time, your support. This has been another wonderful show. Again, you want to go to BTNW, buildingthenewworld.org. You want to definitely check out what's happening. Take a look at that Wheel of Co-Creation. Let it inspire you. Let it ignite you. Got chills all over my body. We are up to some really amazing things. Thanks again, Ricky Byers-Beckwith, for her musical inspiration. Our amazing guest, Dr. Kurt Johnson. May the longtime sun shine upon you. May all love surround you. And may the pure light within you guide your way on. This is Lisa Sahakian. You're listening to Enlighten Up Radio. Love, joy, peace to all souls.
Wandering around, wondering what. I hit the glass with so much speed. What was I doing that I didn't see the glass? I was moving way too fast. I was moving way too fast. Felt like I was standing still. So I tried to gain some speed with my mind and with my will. Wanting to feel something moving in me, moving like the fishes in the sea. Rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the real vibration, sweet liberation. Rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the one,
one with the one, with the one.
Working it out, she's wondering why. She married in such haste, there was no way to know that her dream of love was sweeter than the truth that came to pass. And the dream is still a dream, especially when you're moving fast. She was moving way too fast, felt like she was moving slow. So she tried to gain some speed with her mind, and off she goes. Wanting to feel something deeper within, deep like a power in the wind. Rushing to get it done, needing to be one with the one, with the real vibration, sweet